Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Something strange in your neighborhood. Who you gonna call?
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show. We have finished all three, the trifecta of G.I. Joe short films from the mid-aughts, and we are getting ready to pump ourselves up to launch into season 7 of this show. This is Knowing is Half the Podcast, and I am Ray Stakanis.
Hold on, I want to try and burp again. Okay, hold on. No, it's coming. Yeah,
this is riveting radio, Robert Clark Chan.
Usually people have to pay extra for this when someone's
burping. this is the $50 Patreon level.
The Only Chans fan page.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
It's just a live stream of me trying to burp on command.
But failing until eventually 38 minutes into the stream, you barf.
Here's the thing.
Honestly, I'd pay for that.
There are people who are.
Someone would pay for that.
There's like edging videos, right? So this is like that.
The
mukbang version of that.
Wait, who's. Wait a minute. No, hold on. Chan, okay. You're out there finding edging videos and watching them.
No. I'm saying that
they exist. He's saying,
yeah.
I didn't know they existed because I haven't gone looking for them.
There's a lot of things that you know exist that you probably don't go looking for.
You tell me that you knew what a splorch was just because you went looking for it, right? You were looking. You were like, how do I deposit gelatinous eggs into my butthole? No, there's got to be someone who's figured out how to do this.
I know what the splorch is only because the two of you put it on my Facebook feed. I didn't have to go searching shit.
Oh, it's our fault.
Yes, it is very much your fault.
If we went back, somebody must have gone back to listen to our old episodes and heard the first instance of the splorch.
I think it was me, to be fair. I'm pretty sure it was me.
Oh, was it? Okay. I thought it was Ray.
No, wow. I think it was me because there was a whole Vice article about it. And I remember reading it and being fascinated and then forcing that knowledge onto the two of you, much like an alien egg forces its way into a butthole.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, to be fair, it's consensual in my case, but.
Oh, good.
To each their own.
Well, I sure hope so. What are your goddamn names? What is happening? Thank you.
I'm Gina Ippolito.
Why did you go first? I'm supposed to go first.
No, you had your time and name. You chose to burp and splorch. Yeah.
You chose to waste the people's time and now they've all left. Thanks, Chan.
No.
This was someone's first time watching and listening to the show, and now they're already gone. Thanks.
We have concrete evidence that people will listen to 45 minutes of the show without us getting into the cartoon at all.
That's a good
point. So. But that's because it happens every once in a while, not because it's a regular thing.
Mm-hmm. That's
because we're talking about interesting things and diving into thoughts, not waiting for Chan to burp.
But you kind of felt that, like, the tension build, didn't you? And you were like, oh my God, is he going to do it?
Definitely feeling some tension build, Chan. It has nothing to do with your burping.
Is it going to happen?
Chan's really into these edging videos.
He's making more edging videos, even as we speak. Yeah, I was about to say, holy crap. Anyway, the show we're watching this week is one I did not know existed, honestly. Somebody's going to have to tell me what year it came from, but this is the cartoon The Extreme Ghostbusters. I'm familiar with the real Ghostbusters. Heck, I'm familiar with the regular Ghostbusters with the monkey. I did not know there was a second animated series basically piggybacking off the first real Ghostbusters called Extreme Ghostbusters. And you guys, maybe you could tell me if I'm right here. The Burger King Kids Club grew up to become Ghostbusters.
Yeah, that's definitely.
That's what this is, right?
Definitely. Yeah. It's very interesting to me that there was a period of time where everyone was interested in an animated kid in a wheelchair, a blonde animated kid in a wheelchair, that it was so hot at some point.
I mean, for all the people complaining that you're like, everything's too woke, blah, 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 and you should be like, the 90s was the OG. Like, every group was specifically diverse in a way that is, you know, formulaic. Yeah. You've got the black guy, you've got the girl who is hyper competent. You have a green slime ghost, and then you have a guy in a wheelchair, and that is the pattern for literally every cultural product in the 90s.
You left out the lazy Latino, which is how he's described in the Wikipedia page.
Oh wow, I did not get down
that. That's upsetting.
I will give you a little taste. Like Ray said, this is Extreme Ghostbusters. It's based on the Ghostbusters franchise, but specifically the cartoon, which was the Real Ghostbusters, which if you listen to our last episode, you know they had to call it the Real Ghostbusters because there was already a cartoon called Ghostbusters, even though it wasn't at all affiliated with the Ghostbusters movie. It had a monkey. It was very strange.
We've done that. We've done all of those cartoons on this show before, just for the record.
Yeah, so go back and find them. This was a direct follow-up to the Real Ghostbusters. It was in 1997 as part of a quote-unquote extreme block, because the 90s loved extreme. And the only OG Ghostbuster to come back in this cartoon, not his voice, but is Egon. And Egon is now a professor at a college for a class that no kids take, apparently. No college students take, except one day four teens decide to take this class because it's about the supernatural, and I guess people think it's dorky. But one day four teens decide to take this college course on the supernatural. I assume he's very excited. But the lack of supernatural activity in the world has put the Ghostbusters out of business. So it's very sad why the other Ghostbusters are not in this cartoon. Not enough ghost activity. The members have gone their separate ways. Egon still lives in the firehouse, and he decides to become a college professor. He teaches about the supernatural and the occult. He is forced to recruit his only four students as the new Ghostbusters. There's Kylie Griffin, who's the hyper-confident girl that Chan talked about.
The punk lady.
She's described as a goth genius and an expert on occultism.
I'm into it.
There's Eduardo Rivera, a cynical Latino slacker.
I looked it up. I scrolled further down the Wikipedia, and I see that it says seemingly a lazy character. Not he is a lazy character. So, you know,
wow, Gina, you got a lot to answer for right now.
I mean, I read his brief description, which was Latino slacker, which is like, what's the definition of a slacker? But
in the 90s, that had a very different meaning.
Stoner. It means he did a lot of drugs.
So he's either a Latino who does drugs.
Well, he had floppy hair. He had the little goatee. He looked very much like the lead singer of Sugar Ray. And that's like a thing. So
talk about Mike McGrath, who went to the same gym as me.
Mark McGrath, thank you very much.
Look, I only know him as Sugar Ray, all I called him, and that's fine. But
who's the bigger nerd here? The person who knows Mark McGrath's name, or a person who tried to trade on the fame of going to the same gym as the guy whose name he doesn't actually know?
Guys, I was trying to use a roundabout way to say I once went to the gym, and you guys are just shutting me down for other reasons.
I believe
this feels very, very unfair.
I believe nothing about this story. We also have...
Wait a minute, Gina, I want to hear more about how they're not sending us their best.
So girl's a goth genius, expert on the occultism. Latino is a cynical slacker. There's Garrett Miller, described as a young, white, paraplegic athlete who uses a wheelchair.
What?
And there is Roland Jackson, a studious African-American machinery whiz. who is, by the way, voiced by the one and only Alfonso Ribeiro.
Alfonso Ribeiro. I saw that and I got very excited. I'm very excited to see Carlton from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air in this show.
Oh, we also have Janine is also back. Who's the know, everyone knows her. Everyone loves her. Annie Potts. We got one from the original, except now she just has this really sad storyline where she's just obsessed with Egon, who isn't giving her the time of day. And Slimer is back. Who's hungrier than ever. I love him. He's always, pointing out those hot dogs.
Reprising his role as Egon, Maurice LaMarche is back.
Yeah.
And that's very nice. I like that.
Yeah. Some good voice actors, by the way. Slimer is Billy West. Everyone knows Billy West. Maurice LaMarche, a.k.a. The Brain, a.k.a. 900 billion other ones. The competent female, whose name I immediately forgot, is Tara Strong.
Tara Strong is a delight.
Tara Strong. She's also in a ton of things. You know her from just tons. And Alfonso
Ribeiro.
She's
Harley Quinn, for gosh sakes. There you go.
Yeah, And Alfonso Ribeiro. So it's an all-star cast. I don't know who the wheelchair kid or the slacker Latino are, but, you know.
get the rub.
I will say that kind of like G.I. Joe Extreme, I do not care for the general hard 90s aesthetic. And I'm a huge fan of diversity, not a huge fan of formulas, I'm torn there. But it feels like G.I. Joe Extreme, it feels like the bones are there. Like all of the underlying structure is sound, the storytelling is there, uh-huh. You know, there's some excesses where I'm like, this is Jesus, really? Do we have to do that? But also, like, in general, Mike. Yeah, of course Egon's the only one left. I hope the other three got, like, sucked into some sort of hell portal or something like that, and Egon's, like, trying to get him back or something, you know? I don't know. I don't hate this.
Yeah,
it really is going to mess me up in this episode when Chan is talking about Egon, because I'm going to get thrown repeatedly.
Oh, yeah. No. I'm working on it myself.
Yeah, I also shockingly did not hate this. I agree with Chan that I saw even though this is episode 21 of season 1, I think this ran for a total of 40 episodes or 44 episodes or something, okay. But they're already pretty deep into it, and I will say, yeah, this is it's formulaic, but it's well written. Again, great voice acting. I also don't hate the animation. It's real animation instead of computer animation, so it was pretty decent. Ray, do you want to make it a trifecta of saying this is pretty decent?
It was fine. It didn't really do a lot for me. I do love I love the Ghostbusters. It's one of my favorite movies when I was a kid. I loved the heck out of the real Ghostbusters cartoon show. And this is fine. I mean, look, if I'm watching Ghostbusters, it probably is my preference to watch the original cast and not the Macross Saga version of this, which is basically what this was. You know, season 2 of Robotech is hot fire, and just by that I mean in a dumpster on fire. It's garbage. And it's garbage with some of the same characters from the previous season.
You really need to work on your slang metaphors. Like hot fire. No, the bad hot fire.
Yeah.
You know, the kind that burns you alive and makes you upset. That's what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, Chan, disagree with me if you want to. Robotech season 2 is trash.
You know what? It's it is a product of its time.
Yeah, a time when nobody made anything good, apparently.
Wow.
Yeah, I ended Gina with that one.
That wasn't
so this episode is this is the St. Patrick's Day episode. It's about the Sons of Erin. There's a secret club called the Sons of Erin, and there's a guy working there, and they send him to clean up a room for a party that's going to happen later. He finds a pipe, pulls it out, it opens a secret room. So he has now disturbed the seal of a magical leprechaun, who, of course, is looking for the one thing all leprechauns are looking for. Rap. That was one leprechaun in two movies.
Yeah, you know what? My knowledge of leprechauns is pretty limited. It's limited mostly to those two movies. So, you know.
I'd like to point out that the last non-G.I. Joe thing we watched was Punky Brewster, which inadvertently, like, we didn't watch it because we're coming up on St. Patrick's Day, but we inadvertently picked something that had a magical leprechaun gopher from Sean Doon. So we got one version of a leprechaun that was a cute, adorable, time-traveling alien monster cutie pie. Let's just throw a bunch of adjectives in there. And then we get this one, which is just a hideous little troll man. I assume he wants his pot of gold.
Yeah, he's looking for his pot of gold. He got it stolen from him, and he's an evil, malevolent spirit. We'll learn more about that later. He turns a statue of a bull into a giant real bull, and then near as I can tell, he steals the soul of the guy who broke him out, whose name is Murphy, who coincidentally happens to be one of the people he was looking for.
Honestly, at first I was like, you racist motherfucker. You're just going to be like, Murphy, whatever Murphy is good enough for me, they're all the same. And then they sort of explain, like, okay, yeah, they're actually descendants of the original people that put him in there. I'm like, all right, I guess that's
I'd okay. like to see him go after the real Murphy, Alex Murphy, a.k.a. RoboCop. RoboCop would destroy this leprechaun. I wish we could have seen that.
So what you're saying is we need to do a who would win with RoboCop versus Leprechaun.
Maybe I'd finally win one with RoboCop if we did that.
No, I doubt it.
Yeah, I'd probably lose that one. I got hosed in that one Leprechaun battle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, let's talk about the theme song. Gina, I know you have feelings.
Yeah.
Oh, this you want me to play the...
Yeah.
She literally asked you to play it before we even started recording. What is happening right now?
Yeah, no, I know. But like, you were like, Gina, I know you have thoughts. And I was like, oh, obviously he's asking Gina for her thoughts. So
and
I was waiting.
Said, yes, I do. Thus implying it was time to play the music. What is happening right now?
I'm not the
it's
one.
Okay. We've only been doing this for 7 years.
How are we so bad at this?
Into something strange in your neighborhood. It's something weird and it don't look good. What are you gonna call? That's right.
Yeah. It's like if Motorhead did the Ghostbusters theme.
It's not like Motorhead.
Well, but without Lemmy though.
But it does feel like a real sort of mid-late 90s post-grunge sound, you know, just kind of like a slowed-down rock thing that's trying to be kind of, you know, grim and dark. And, you know, honestly, not the worst thing I've ever heard.
No, what makes me really mad about it is I didn't hate it.
You know what is really going to blow your fucking mind? Do you know who sang it?
No, I don't.
Oh, shit. I don't know this either.
Winnie the fucking Pooh.
No, Jim Cummings did not sing that.
James Jonah Cummings.
No. Yeah,
I want to hear it again now. Are you kidding me right now? He's not even in the show. I mean, maybe he's in the show. I don't know. Darkwing Duck sang that theme song. That's upsetting.
Man. It's so weird, and I don't know how to feel about it. Again, it's kind of like it's the excesses of it. Like it's real cheap and whatnot like that, but also like, you know, it's not the worst cover of Ghostbusters I've ever heard in my life.
It's not. That's God. Now I'm just mad again. So that's the theme song. It's very extreme. It's not really that extreme. It's just, you know, kind of metally. I don't know.
Yeah.
So showing up in the mail, it's a really weird scene because we're kind of basically given another cold open, which is a guy who gets burnt toast in the mail.
Yes.
You find out that his name is O'Toole. So it's like, okay, he must be on the list. So this leprechaun is mailing burnt toast to the people he's coming after. Like, that seems like a lot of work. Where to get the stamps?
It's also it's also just weird because to me, burnt toast has such an association these days with like someone having a stroke or something like that, or like, yeah, I don't know. It's just such a random thing. Like, someone says it looks like burnt toast, and then there, but there's also like broken bits of a Blarney stone later. So I was like, oh, it's not toast. It's just like bits of an old stone. Yeah. Honestly like didn't get why this was happening. Yeah.
Explain it.
No, but it really is toast though.
It's an educational show. Like, look, this is a fact of leprechaun lore here. You know, you probably don't know this, but now you do. You're welcome.
Yeah, that's true. It is kind of cool that they're, but at first I was very confused and assumed it was going to be something else. Also, maybe that's why people smell toast when they're having a stroke, because it's really a leprechaun bringing doom on them.
Leprechauns cause strokes.
Yeah, like maybe that's their like their revenge on someone.
Man, the AMA has really gone downhill.
That is outrageous. So that we find out now the circle was broken. They find a piece of the Blarney Stone.
Yeah.
And we make jokes about cereal boxes like multiple times throughout this episode. Wild.
Yeah. But to be fair, I will say, yeah, because they know bits of information. They say, oh, where did you learn that? And someone says, I read it on a cereal box. To be fair, this was like the sort of 80s generation of kids did learn a lot of facts from the backs of cereal boxes, because that was what we used to read in the morning.
Yes. As our parents left us alone to go take ourselves to school. But it is a well-constructed bit.
Yes.
Sounds like a leprechaun. If you look away or blink, they're gone.
What book do you read that in?
Actually, it's the back of a cereal box.
They're like this. Boom. Smart girl is undercutting her knowledge. Yeah. But then also the dude does it later, too. So it's like a fun running bit. Like, that's all great.
Also, I will say, who else immediately thought, don't touch that Blarney Stone bit. It has herpes.
No, that's what? Not what I felt even at all.
Why?
No.
Why were you bringing herpes?
Well, I'm about to drop some cereal box knowledge on y'all.
Boy. Oh, boy.
In Ireland, so many people, so many tourists kiss the Blarney Stone for luck, because that's the legend. You kiss it and you get good luck. Sure. That it is covered in herpes, and people have had to, the Board of Tourism has had to release multiple warnings to travelers not to kiss it, because they don't clean it, and people kiss it and get herpes.
But like, right. It's a rock, much like a toilet seat is actually not as dirty as people pretend it is. Because the inclement weather and whatever, however toilet seats work, like, they can't retain diseases. So why wouldn't the rock be the same way from just being kissed? I mean, what are they, deep throating it? Like, what's happening here?
I feel very much like the rock could contract an STD.
Oh, shit. Like, no, he's superhuman.
He is, but also, like, I'm sure he's gotten a penicillin shot in his day.
I mean, of course.
Also keep in mind that this is like, it's at the height of the tourist season. It's just one after another after another. I have heard since the pandemic that now they sanitize it. Now they actually do. They have someone there that sanitizes it. But for a while, it was pretty gross.
Ray, shh, come over here.
Yeah, what's up, dude?
Is Gina talking about her cooter?
Yeah, Gina's. Well, here's the deal. I do know that people have traveled from miles around to come and kiss
it. It's true. Look, the sanitizing pays well. It's a full-time job. apparently Winston Churchill kissed it at some point. The stone, not my vagina.
I'm counting it as both.
It's canon now.
Yeah.
But yeah, they for a while they were saying, when you go to Blarney Village, don't kiss the Blarney Stone. Yeah. So that was my first thought when these herpy riddled rocks tumbled out. I thought, well, there's people making posts. I'm looking at them right now that say I got herpes from kissing the Blarney Stone. I would love it though if this was just like a story that their boyfriends told them. I don't know. What did you do? You must have gotten it from a Blarney Stone.
No, baby, you went out of town and I kissed the Blarney Stone, and when you came back, I had herpes.
Yeah.
Yeah, this holds. This tracks.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, Lord. All right. Well, here's the deal. There it is. We got the Blarney Stone involved. We cut back to a building. We find O'Toole, the guy from the burnt toast scene, on the edge of the building. They're saying, please don't jump. And it's like, well, no, he's being chased by something. He's trying to get away from it. You dumb police officers.
Cops,
you bunch of piggy pies. So we find out it's a class 4 apparition, which is actually an animation. And I can't help but think they're just making shit up. Because there's a monster that is chasing him. They zap the monster, but the leprechaun gets the guy anyway. And we learn the leprechaun is so fast, if you even blink, he gets away from you.
Yeah, I enjoy this. I think this is funny. I also like the design of this leprechaun. He's appropriately hideous. Without being like so hideous that you know, little kids watching it in the 90s would be traumatized. But yeah, they do a good job of like not making him look like a cute little leprechaun. He looks like a little evil, grotesque little angry leprechaun who
I think that's just something wants his gold that the Ghostbusters cartoons have done well traditionally. Like the real Ghostbusters managed to toe the line between genuinely frightening and also watchable by, you know, youngish children.
Yeah,
good on them.
I mean, look, the leprechaun is basically a complete knockoff of the one from the live action leprechaun movies with Warwick Davis. Let's keep it real. That's about as the same as you can possibly look and retain it. Of course,
Leprechaun. Yeah.
One through, I mean, look, Leprechaun 4 is the best one, the one that takes place in space. I've seen them all. I might not have actually seen Leprechaun Back to the Hood, which is the follow-up to Leprechaun 5, Leprechaun in the Hood, which I have seen many times.
It's a good franchise. It is a good franchise. Jennifer Aniston's acting start.
She does. 1993, Jennifer Aniston is the heroine of the first Leprechaun movie. If you didn't know, this is pre-Friends. So that was weird, seeing her appear in Friends and being like, oh, the leprechaun chick and the chick from Masters of the Universe. Let's go.
Used her nepotism from her famous dad to get on the first Leprechaun movie.
Her famous dad.
Yeah, she comes from I'm going to blow your mind.
Oh, shit.
That there's a celebrity in Hollywood who comes from a famous family.
That never happens. Raymond. That's so weird.
Her dad is a famous, he was mainly, I think, known for his soaps, soap opera acting. John Aniston, very famous, on the long running Days of Our Lives. He was the star of Days of Our Lives for, I think, like 40 years.
And now she's more famous than he is.
Yeah, he might be dead.
He died last year.
Regrettably, she made no more appearances in the series after the first one. Look, the second one is a pretty boring, traditional. I'm going to go through them all. The first one is a weird, enchanting delight. The second one is kind of a boring retread of the first one. The third one is when they decided to have fun. The third one is when they decided to actually get a little bit more silly and lean into it. So it takes place in Las Vegas. And you get a whole bunch of weird action. Leprechaun 4, they just go for it. They go to the moon. Literally, it's in space. It's on a spaceship with space marines. And the leprechaun comes out of one of their penises. It's a delight. It's a delightful movie. Part 5, again, they go to the hood with Ice-T's in that movie. And it's really upsetting. Honestly, that's maybe the most upsetting one, although I haven't seen Back to the Hood, which near as I can tell has no one famous in it, so it's just the racism.
Yet, today's Leprechaun 5 stars, tomorrow's Jennifer Aniston.
It could be, but that movie came out in 2003. The second one did. So if we don't know him 20 years later, they probably didn't get famous. I'll put it out there.
I love this about you. I love that you are so familiar with it. Although now that I'm saying that, I assume you probably learned it for like a Who Would Win or something.
Well, here's the deal. I did watch them for a Who Would Win episode, yeah. Yes. But well on my own, well before I ever did that show, was I sitting down and watching all the Leprechaun movies. That would have been back in like the early to mid aughts. So it was many. It was before the second Back to the Hood Leprechaun came out. Okay. So it would have been like 2002 probably when I sat down and watched the first five, because I said, I need to be a part of this franchise.
You know, okay, what I didn't have on my Knowing It's Half the Podcast bingo card? Ray outs himself as a leprechaun hipster.
I mean, you should have known, Chan. You just should have known.
I was in it before it was cool. No, leprechaun.
Yeah, I watched the Leprechaun movies before they were cool, after the fifth one came out 2 years after that. Yes, that's what real hipsters do. They watch the fifth in a series and then tell, and then tell you 20 years later correctly what point they entered. Yes, Chan, this is true hipsterism.
Sounds very hipstery.
It really does. Like if you get like a little tattoo of Leprechaun now, and you
shit, I gotta get one. Guys, I'm thinking about getting a tattoo, and now
you've said that before, and it's too hideous for my brain to retain.
Would it be less or more hideous if it was of the Leprechaun, Warwick Davis from the Leprechaun series?
I mean, at least then it's a good bid, and it's not like your daughter's name or her birth date or something stupid like that.
Yeah, who'd want that tattooed? What a loser.
Honestly, I'm not getting my kid's name tattooed on me in case it gets canceled later. I don't want to have to like erase it.
I mean, or he'll change his name at some point. You never know.
You just get the Ghostbusters logo, and then you say, that's for you. And if he gets canceled, you're like, that's no longer for you.
Yeah.
just a real big fan of Dan Aykroyd. What do you think?
Who isn't a big fan of Dan Aykroyd, first off? Let me start there.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Extreme Ghostbusters! Formed with the ultimate ghostbusting gear. Extreme Kylie, Eduardo, and Roland face Extreme Ghosts with awesome attack power. You power up light and sound to bring him down! Ecto-1 screams on scene with blazing lights and missile fire. And when Egon sets the trap, you send him back. Extreme Ghostbusters vehicles and figures each sold separately. Batteries not included.
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
So, the Leprechaun gets O'Toole, and they meet the Leprechaun. And there's a whole big thing here, and I'm just screaming at my television. As what's the young man in the wheelchair's name?
Wheels.
I knew you were going to say Wheels, and that was a perfect prompt. Yes,
I already closed the Wikipedia page.
No, Wheels. His name is Wheels. That's canon. And the canon, he sits back. He's such a skeptic. He's such an atheist that he says, "I don't believe in curses." While talking to a real leprechaun after defeating a real ghost, he says, "I don't believe in bad luck. I don't believe in curses." And the Leprechaun's like, "I'll curse you for real." And he's like, "Why don't you do it? Why don't you do it, a-hole?" And he's basically asking, the Leprechaun's like, "I wasn't gonna, but okay." And he hits him with the curse. And now Wheels' life is taking a turn. It goes very poorly from this point out, because he begged for a curse from a magical being. You don't do that. You find yourself in that situation, don't try to big time the magical being with your atheism. That's a bad choice.
Yeah, I will say, I also like, I don't like this through line or how it's resolved, because it's very inconsistent. Yeah, because first of all, you're a ghost hunter. You were taking Egon's supernatural class. So like you believe in all that crap, apparently. But when it comes to luck, you don't, which fine, I guess. But then he immediately starts to have bad luck. He's very clumsy. He's dropping things. He's breaking things. And then like at some point, Egon, I'm just going to skip ahead to this, because this is a very light C storyline that I don't think people are too invested in. But he at some point like says to Egon, like, you need to like fix this. And Egon's like, oh shit, I can't. And this whole time, like the first like 10 times he spills things or breaks things, he's like, there's no such thing as luck. There's no such thing as bad luck, blah, blah, blah. He's adamant about it. And then finally, and everyone's like, dude, I think you have bad luck. Like you're tripping. You're never mind the fact that he's a paraplegic and things like that. He's just like, bad luck doesn't exist. I'm not clumsy. Like, oh, maybe I'm just clumsy or whatever. So he eventually believes it, that he does have bad luck because he's broken so many things and tripped so many times that he believes it. And finally, like, Egon is like, oh shit, okay, go into my fridge. I do have this like liquid that counteracts it. And the guy drinks it and he's like, did it work? And Egon says, throw the bottle up in the air and catch it. And the kid does, and he catches it and it doesn't break. And he goes, oh, I'm back, baby. And then he goes off and Janine is basically like grape soda, and Egon's like cherry soda. And first of all, if the dude didn't believe in the first place, like, why then was he like having, why then did he get clumsy? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's either real or not.
Yeah,
exactly. Like, it, like the second the leprechaun hits him with whatever, which they animate it to look like he is hitting him with some sort of spell, the kid starts being clumsy and breaking things and getting hit in the head by beams. So is it real or is it not?
I will counter that in a moment. First, what you need to know, while you were chitter-chattering on and I was not listening even in the slightest.
That's fair.
So it is my just child, like a Who Would Win episode.
My child walked out of his room far past his bedtime with a sheet over his head going, ooh. So, daylight savings time. Not working out.
Oh, I hate daily. Oh, I hated it before. I hate it extra as a parent. This is some bullshit. Come on, Joe Biden. Get rid of it.
Number two, I really like this. The whole bad luck thing is kind of dumb just because I don't like the character. Although more about that, I got to see coming up after that. But the fact that he does have this bad luck, he accidentally smashes, you know, the juice that's going to stop the leprechaun. So they improvise. Egon improvises. And he says, here was some other, you know, magic juice drinking. And immediately I wrote in the notes like, oh, that's a placebo.
Yep. But I wrote fake as hell.
I expected the show to subvert that last. I'm like, well, the whole time. Blah, blah, blah. They didn't. They didn't reveal it to him even. Just like just a real off the cuff thing between Janine and Egon, strawberry soda, grape. And I just thought that was real understated. I thought it was cool. I was a fan. And real quick, Garrett was the only Ghostbusters character in any of the franchise to not have a toy made out of him.
It was too hard to do the wheelchair or something?
Yes.
Or?
But despite the fact, though, that in focus groups, the kids all liked him the best. He was their favorite character.
Yeah, because he's the only white one.
I mean, here's the deal. There it is.
Yeah, like of course, when they're doing focus groups, they're gonna ask little white boys, "What did you think of this cartoon?" And they're going to say,
"Are you telling me that nerd is a race now? Are you saying that Egon is not white?"
Egon is if you're a little kid, to a little kid, Egon is an old man. Those college kids are the kids that you identify with. And so far, you've got a girl, gross, a Latino, whose main thing on Wikipedia is that he's a slacker.
Seems very lazy from what I hear.
Yeah, and like a black character who, to be honest, throughout this whole thing, I think has like one line. Because I was waiting for some Alfonso Ribeiro, and he did not talk that much.
Did not deliver. He did not.
But like the wheelchair kid talked a lot. And also he definitely has the unearned confidence of a white man. Like he's the one that's like, you guys are stupid. blah blah blah, and he's like fighting. There's a rivalry with the Latino kid for some reason. He's like, I'm gonna pluck those hairs from your face, stupid.
Yeah, goat boy, that was rough.
Yeah, like so he is, with the exception of the wheelchair, he is like every 80s Fred, like from Scooby-Doo. He's just like a twist on the strong strapping blonde one. He even plays sports. Like, it's in his bio that he's the athlete of the group, right.
Which makes sense to me because obviously he's paraplegic, and so, you know, like what they're doing is like, oh yeah, like he's not handicapped, he's handicapable.
Yeah.
The same way that like girl is actually the smartest one of all of them.
Yeah,
all
of exactly. Which is
fine, just formulaic, especially in the 90s.
Yeah, I mean, I will say that like now we're sort of cynical about it, but I guess it like at this point it wasn't overplayed. So while it was a bit formulaic, I would say like kids probably hadn't seen much of that representation, but if someone said to me which of these characters tested the best among the kids that we had come in for like marketing research, I would say the wheelchair kid, because he's the white boy lead.
Yeah, look, that I'm going to let you guys in on a little secret, everyone at home right now. The 90s, everything that was done in the 90s was done by 10 committees. And so that's how you ended up with everything being kind of homogenized and everything being extreme, because focus groups determined everything that happened in the 90s, because we saw what happened in the 80s when we let all the creative people do a lot of cocaine and have no rails whatsoever outside of Tipper Gore, and it got to crazy town. We ended up with cartoons about the Rubik's Cube, for God's sakes. So the 90s, everything is tame, and in order to be okay with the fact that it's tame, we all pretended it wasn't.
Yeah, all right,
tell me I'm wrong.
I got nothing to add.
Yeah, no notes. No notes from the focus group. So look, some bricks almost fall on Wheels' head. We find out that the bread they synthesize, it's wheat bread, so it's real bread. They use the Blarney Stone to make a luck or an anti-luck potion that'll work on the leprechaun. Look, just go with it. Cutting to a boxing gym, because where else are you going to fight the Irish? Am I right?
Either there or a bar. Also, Egon's using a lot of sciency words throughout this, trying to sound as sciency as possible.
Yes. Can we?
They really overdo this gimmick, which is a very conventional gimmick. Like, the smart guy says, you know, something in a really convoluted way, and the other people are like, what did he say? But I could definitely see this being wildly overused over the course of the series, and I was frankly surprised they did it that many times just in this one.
Yeah, and like I said, they're 21 episodes in. Like, this is not a pilot that we're watching here.
No. Even the smart kids are being like, Egon, I do not understand you.
Which honestly, like, might explain why Alfonso Ribeiro talks so little, because at this point he was just doing it for a paycheck. Like, he was like, look, guys,
sure,
I'm only going to do this if I can come in one day and record all my episodes in one day, but I don't want to be there for more than an hour.
So we go to the boxing gym. We meet Patty, who's like the owner of the boxing gym. He hears three taps, knocks at his door, and that's a leprechaun thing, I guess. And
educational,
I guess.
Also, you never, every, like, three taps are, you never answer something if there's three taps. Everyone knows that's doom.
Yeah, the postman only rings twice.
Yeah,
and a double tap is what you get out of the Boondock Saints. So you don't want any of that.
Yeah, if you hear four knocks, it's the sound that a Time Lord's heartbeats make. So
Okay, yep. That's all I got. Okay, so the leprechaun now has Patty, who is his third victim, or will be, ghost boxing. He's boxing a ghost. And he says, where's my gold?
Ghost boxers.
That's when you thought you put on boxers, but then when you go to the bathroom, you're like, shit, did I forget to put on underwear today?
Ghost boxers. Yeah, he gets him after that. He doesn't know where the gold is. He says, I'm just a descendant of this guy. Why would I know where your gold is? He's like, I don't know. And he just takes him, and that's fine. Egon decides he's going to go back to the Sons of Aaron to see if the original scene of the crime, he can find more clues and information. What a good trope that is. Smart people write that trope into their mysteries. I'm just saying. Okay. Now we meet our fourth victim, a guy named McTavish. They try to zap the leprechaun with the proton packs. We find out that the Blarney Stone doesn't work unless you actually catch the leprechaun. You got to catch him first, then you can use the Blarney on him, which they counteract later in this own and their own logic, which very much upset me later on.
Catching a leprechaun is always part of the lore. That's the hard part.
Yep. But they beat him just by zapping him.
Yeah. But I'm saying, like, at least they tried to be consistent with the mythology put forth by the Lucky Charms commercials.
Till it wasn't convenient anymore. Then they're like, fuck it.
Then they were like, crap, we're 19 minutes in, you guys. We got 2 minutes to wrap this up.
We gotta go here.
They zapped him with the concoction, the anti-leprechaun juice that Egon had made, and then they were able to zap him.
Ah, okay. See, okay, Chan knows the science between capturing a leprechaun.
This is more convoluted than Legion. I'll just put it out there.
I'm just saying that, like, again, the bones are there. These things hold together, which is, you know.
Well, that's good. Well, here's the deal.
And I'm for it.
Wheelchair ends up, I think, destroying the Blarney Stone or something. He screws everything up. They're very mad at him. Cut back to Egon, who has found something at the Sons of Aaron, but won't tell us what it is yet. This is where we find the fifth and last victim on the name on the list. Wheels is having trouble with the team. The team does not want to be around him anymore. They're like, you're messing things up. You got bricks falling on your head. Take a vacation. You know, this is not good.
Yeah. He is clearly going to be final destination at some point. Like, right. Everything that can kill him is trying to kill him. And that's why I was like, but he really does. It's not like, not everything he's doing is just from his own clumsiness. Like, yeah, like a brick almost falling on his head has nothing to do with clumsiness. That sets it up like it's actually bad luck.
Yeah, he's sitting at a table and he accidentally just destroys the table. Maybe he's very strong in his upper body.
Well, I mean, the thing that I liked about it though was that it was, yeah. There was an actual bad luck magic, but the power of positive thinking, the power of the placebo, is more powerful than the magic. The science is more powerful than magic.
Yes, because it wasn't really science. Placebo, while technically science, didn't actually, you know, do anything.
It's technically correct, which is the best kind of correct.
All right. Well, so they go to Mayor McShane, who's the fifth. McShane is the fifth name on the list. So they go to the mayor.
Also,
they say,
this 100% made me think of Mayor McCheese.
Really? Yep. I thought of Ian McShane, and I was like, please don't kill Swearingen. Come on, man. We need
him.
No,
if you have Mayor Mick, that's got to be followed by cheese. And that's another Burger King thing.
I thought of Mike McShane from TV's Whose Line Is It Anyway back in the 90s.
Yeah.
That's where I did not go to either of your two places, although I wish I had because yours are both better.
Yeah, I mean, mine's the best, so.
I would argue that mine is the best, but.
No, Ian McShane, you only have. Yeah, I guess you have two out of the three also.
Anyway, the mayor does not believe it. He's like, I do not believe there's a leprechaun who has come back and the circle's been broken and he's coming after me for his gold. I don't know what you're talking about. Cut back to Wheels, who's just having a bad day. He's just, more things are happening. This is when we do the juice bit. Enough. And they have only enough juice after he breaks the beaker. They only have enough juice to fire up one of the proton packs with the thing that will bring down the leprechaun. They give him the soda. I wrote here, this is pretty fake, obviously. And immediately, yep, it is. I did actually like it because if they did the reveal at the end, then we don't know if like this curse was actually broken. Here, we can just conveniently forget about the curse from this point forward. If they reveal it at the end, there remains the chance that they didn't actually solve it. Now he knows. Now he's cursed till the end of time. So I kind of like the way they did it. I agree with Chan on that.
I don't like this mayor. I'm going to go out on a limb and say maybe politicians aren't great. He's a little worm. He's a little worm.
I expected him to get more of a comeuppance at the end.
Yeah.
And the fact that he didn't, I kind of respect it. I was like, okay, he probably comes back throughout the series just to be a thorn in their side and, you know, keeps accidentally stumbling into success. And like, I dislike it, but in the way that I dislike a heel in wrestling, like I'm supposed to not like him. It's doing its work.
You know, yeah, I guess it is fair. In keeping with the authority figures in Ghostbusters. Anyone with any power in Ghostbusters is usually a little bit of a wiener and is trying to abuse that power.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that about the Ghostbusters. The fact that they tried to make the EPA of all groups the dastardly villains for us considering that maybe unregulated ghosts in the city was a bad idea. Yeah. The EPA, Walter Peck, legitimately hero of the movie, never stops getting shit on.
The 80s were a hell of a drug.
I would also point out here that they must have, to what you guys are saying, they must have had some sort of previous relationship with the mayor in earlier episodes. He seems to know who they are. They are able to just go up to him and just talk to him. And, you know, his security detail doesn't destroy them. So obviously, like, they have some relationship built up already. Now that I'm thinking about it, that's great.
And the butler knows them and does not care for them. When the butler knows.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a fair point. They decide they're going to wait outside his house, though, and they take shifts sleeping, which is wild to me because there's three of them. And yet they still find a time when they're all falling asleep. What I'm to believe here with three people on the shifts is they couldn't make it like 2 hours. But 4 hours, you know what I'm saying? Like, they couldn't make it, okay, I've been awake now for 16 hours, or I've only been awake for 8 hours, time to go to sleep. And I don't know. There was a thing, if there were two of them, I could believe everyone would fall asleep. When you add a third person to the mixture, that is, oh my gosh, I just realized who it was, the lazy one who fell asleep with the other two. Never mind.
I will say that, a possible unintentional racism aside, I'm willing to chalk that one up to supernatural means, like, you know, the fucking leprechaun's trying to do his thing.
Yeah, so that's what I was thinking. Sleeping. I thought he was drizzling some sleep dust.
I could use
but
that.
But also, maybe it's just a little bit of the siesta juice, if you know what I mean.
He's sitting there getting wasted on tequila behind the wheel. And then, no, I can't believe that he was, because this is New York City. He would have been pulled out of his car and beaten.
There you go.
Unfortunately, the world we live in. Anyway, a literal deaf coach shows up.
Yeah.
Fucking metal. My God. It's the black coach from Warhammer Fantasy, everybody. That is a reference for two of you, and you love me for it. The deaf coach shows up, and he says, Mayor, I'm here. And the mayor comes out, and he's like, I'm good. But he still comes out for it. He's like, I don't think you understand. This is the deaf coach, and you're coming with me. Zaps him. Got the fifth guy. The our heroes, the Ghostbusters, wake up just in time to see them take off. We have a chase scene through a St. Patrick's Day parade.
Hold on. I just wanted to make this quick note here.
Now, there's a sight to make a wee man humble.
One night in Bangkok makes a wee man humble.
Oh, dear Lord.
Will not pass up an opportunity for a Murray Head reference. Never, ever.
I love it. I love
ever,
it.
Ever.
Well, I'm not.
So, I just realized there is a literal parade going on during this chase scene, which means that all three of them had fallen asleep at like 11 a.m.
Yeah.
This is a bad look. It's a bad look for the team, is all I'm trying to say.
Look, they hunt ghosts. They don't work nights.
They're students. They're normally sleeping till 2 in the afternoon.
Okay, fair. No, these are all fair points. Look, the chase, they drop an entire float on the car. Yeah, an entire float gets dropped with leprechaun magic on the Ghostbusters car. And also, they come across the Colossus of Rhodes if he was a troll. I don't know what this statue is, what it is supposed to be, and why it is in a St. Patrick's Day parade float.
Yeah, this gave me strong Gollum vibes, like in Jewish mythology. He looks like a giant clay man that has come to life with this magic, like the design of this character.
He's like a zombie hillbilly Jim. It's a really weird statue to be in an Irish St. Patrick's Day parade.
I have to assume that every fourth episode of this show involves some giant Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man like character.
Oh, yeah.
That's what they're going for. Yeah. Around and-
I'm sure this has some sort of place in Irish mythology.
Are you sure? Are you really
sure?
Yeah,
they're pretty good about the other stuff in this episode. I bet that they said, like, look, just find us something in Irish lore that can be, like, scary and giant.
I was honestly waiting for them to say something specific like that. This, oh, look, there's a Joe Flaherty who's the...
Joe Flaherty.
Not the SCTV guy.
SCTV. Count Floyd, let's go.
But, you know, like some you know, ancient Irish creature of some kind. But
yeah, Joe Flaherty from SCTV. Yes.
Uh-huh.
Look, what's really wild about this is they set this whole thing up. Don't give us any time at all to engage with the moment. They just zap it and it, like, collapses. It turns to ashes.
Yeah, that feels like we're... 3 minutes over, we got to cut some stuff.
Oh, wouldn't you know? As soon as that happened, Robert Clark Chan, I checked the timer to find out we were only about 2 minutes away from the end of the episode. So obviously this is a thing they really wanted to do and then ran out of time to do it. Put it in anyway.
Why not?
Why not? So we have the whole bit. Don't blink. You got to get the leprechaun. You got to capture the leprechaun. And then Wheels zaps him with the proper proton pack. And he's defeated. Bad luck, Goop. He releases everybody. They all get out of the thing, including the mayor. And the mayor goes in front of the cameras and goes, "This was all prank. It went too far. My bad, everybody. Vote for me." And then that's like the end of the episode. That's just where we leave it. Yep. Just right there. Not a very satisfying ending to this, I'm not going to lie.
It does sort of peter out.
The
opposite of peter out. They're like...
Stiffens up.
They're like, kill the giant, and we're done.
Yeah, the giant we never set up at any point before this. We just got to it in the moment and then defeated it in 2 seconds. Get out.
Yeah, we should have gotten some sort of wrap up afterwards. I think that's what happened. It's there's no wrap up.
And we don't got time for wrap ups.
I like a wrap up.
Yeah,
me too.
Yeah, and that's the end, everybody. Extreme Ghostbusters. Would we watch more Extreme Ghostbusters? I don't know. Probably. It wasn't terrible. This is a show that was perfectly fine. It's a show that if I was younger in 1997 and not like away at college or whatever, I probably would have watched more of.
I would have 100% imprinted on the goth genius because like that's everything that I'm into.
Yep. I get it.
Yeah.
I would like none of them. No, I like Egon. I'd be the
Oh, really? You want to babysit situation. Next week?
Yeah, you're in. Oh, she said it. You got the sound pole.
Got the sound pole. You said, I have audio of you saying that right now.
Well, that is Knowing is Half the Podcast. Gina has a brand new gig, which I don't know if she's allowed to talk about. Gina, are you allowed to talk about it?
Sure I am. I'm now writing and producing content for New Rock Stars. So everybody, if you're not already subscribed to them, wait about a month and then everyone subscribe at once so that I can be like, guys, this is because of me that you guys got all these new stuff.
There it is. If you're not familiar with the New Rock Stars channel, they do make a lot of very fun videos, live streams. They're just generally fun people who comment on things and have opinions on nerd culture, right? That's the gist of it.
Yeah, they do a lot of breakdown videos of nerd properties, Easter egg videos of nerd properties. So anytime a Marvel movie or TV show comes out, they'll do episode breakdowns and Easter egg videos and theory videos and tie-ins to comics and things like that. So it's very much right up my alley.
Yeah, and it's a friend of the show, Tommy Bechtold, big part of New Rockstars.
Yeah, a lot of comedy folks that we've known throughout the years work there and do cool stuff. So
it's great. So go support them is what we're trying to say. Support TV's Gina Ippolito.
tell them Gina sent you in like all of the comment.
Yeah, please do. Just flood them with, and then they'll be like, guys, she doesn't even have a video up yet. What are you doing? That's why I'm saying wait a month.
Okay, there it is. Wait a month, everybody. And so ignore this message right now. Go back to this episode one month from today. And then remember it. Go to the New Rock Stars. Subscribe, like, favorite. Notifications.
Uh-huh. And just post and a comment bunch of
on
comments.
Every video. Yeah. We want Gina.
We demand Gina. We love Gina. Give us.
When's Gina going to sing on one of these?
Yum, show yum, us yum, Gina's yum, Barney yum. Stone.
Jesus Christ. Gina's telling everyone that you can get herpes from a Blarney Stone. We need to see a breakdown video of that.
Here's all the Easter eggs in the Knowing It's Half the Podcast Extreme Ghostbusters episode you might have missed. We'll explain what the black coach from Warhammer is for all the rest of you.
We'll explain what a splorch is. Why are we doing this every episode? It's not even an Easter egg anymore.
Gina, stop pitching the everything you need to know about the splorch videos. For the love of
everything
God.
Everything you need to know is actually zero, just for the record.
I mean, look, I bet you I could find 10 fun facts about the splorch and turn that into an informational video.
It is on.
The challenge. Yeah, now I want it. Now
I have the audio. I have the audio. Yeah. You must write an article.
You know what would be a great time for you to set aside for writing this article? When you're babysitting Egon, you have plenty of time then to work on that.
Mm-hmm. He would love it. He would love to hear more about this.
Yeah. Otherwise, of course, you could check out, I don't know, Who Would Win Show. You could check out AE Double Back because Chan won't say it. I'm at some point going to appear on an episode of AE Double Back. Maybe we're going to record it right after this. Are we doing that, Chan?
Absolutely not.
That would have been a very smart thing to set up.
I'm tired.
Me too. I don't think I'm going to be doing that. But I did watch a pay-per-view of AEW wrestling with Calder Holbrook and Robert Clark Chan, as mentioned before, and I should appear on that show to talk about it, ideally before it's past everyone's memory that this event happened.
One would hope.
One would hope, but that's not how we work. If you know anything about all of us, it'll be 8 months from now. It'll be called, hey, remember that pay-per-view Ray went to? So that's a thing.
Remember me.
Oh, Coco. Tears every time. Remember. Great song. Anyway, that's the show. You can check us out facebook.com/knowingishalfthepodcast, patreon.com/knowingishalfthepodcast. We will be getting everyone t-shirts. So if you're listening to this and you're still with us, thank you. First off, great job. You did it. Make sure that all of your t-shirt sizes and your other stuff, your addresses are all up to date. I will be posting a thing in there so that way we can all get up to speed and we'll get you a season 7 Knowing t-shirt because that's what we do. Otherwise, you can find us on Twitter. I don't know. Where is it, Gina? At KIHTP. Where do you find us on Twitter?
I say it
every episode.
I type it in the first time and I go fast and it goes and then Ray corrects me and then I type in the exact same thing the second time, but it works that time.
What is KIHTP on Twitter?
It's a Twitter account that doesn't exist, but apparently did at one point.
But one of the letters is like capitalized. Hang on.
It's like a capital H in there.
Yeah. It's
capital
a weird,
K, capital H.
Yeah, it doesn't even come up if I search it. But if you look at my last post, I tagged it.
God damn it.
And it is. Yeah, let's see. Capital K, capital T. So I assume it had capital to do with T, toilet paper.
I mean, we didn't get it when it was time to get it, and we didn't get it.
Yeah, whatever it was K-I-H-T-P.
Okay. So don't go there. Go to at G.I. Joe Podcast, as Gina has heard me say literally hundreds of times.
Look, it's your fault that we don't have this account. You should have set up a Google alert for the second that it became available.
Apparently, it's still not available. So it wasn't available then or now. Even if I had that Google alert, it would not have worked.
Well, but if it says it doesn't exist, that means we could get it.
Chan, I got your new account when you come back to Twitter.
I don't see that happen.
So go to there at G.I. Joe Podcast, or individually, I'm at Almighty Ray.
I'm
Chan is at K-I-H-G-P.
Don't do that.
I'm at Gina Iffy.
And you can also tweet at AE Doubleback to let Calder know Chan's mail. That's really my favorite part of it.
Yeah, I like, you know, my old house, every once in a while, they will contact me and they'll say like, hey, you got this piece of mail. They'll send me a photo of it and I'll be like, oh, you can toss that.
That's because, most mail, to be fair.
Yeah, because I had everything forwarded or I changed it. So if it's important, I've already taken care of it. But I like to imagine that Calder wakes up, he drinks his cup of English breakfast tea.
I see that.
Extra sugar.
Extra sugar, yeah.
And then he sits down at his computer with a satisfied sigh, and he opens it up and he has notifications that are all of our audience tweeting at Chan, at AE Doubleback. And then he texts Chan and says, hey, you got some mail. Do you want me to toss it or should I just leave it there? Do you want to pick it up this week or what?
I love that. And I also want to see him spit out the English tea, English breakfast tea. That would also be spit tank with it every time. 39 notifications. that'd be pretty good. So anyway, that's this episode of Knowing Is Half the Podcast. May your blarneys get kissed and may all your bustin' be extreme.
Bustin' makes it feel good.
If there's something weird and it don't look good, who you gonna call?
That's right.
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, give it up, Jimmy, you gotta sink this putt to win. Or, I wouldn't jump up and down until we stabilize the hydraulics. On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world, working actors, comedians, writers, stunt people, you get it, and we do it all over breakfast, or should I say Breakfast? Every week is a new episode of Breakfast, and here's what you get. Inside Hollywood info, like, how cool is it to act with Ed O'Neill? Spoiler alert, it's really cool. And what the heck is a gaffer? You get great Breakfast recs and foodie debates like, when should you go hash browns and when do you go home fries? I know the answer to that. Trust me, my pancake posse, my bacon brigade. Listen up, because Breakfast is the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in, it's Breakfast time. Breakfast with Brent Pope, available at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.